Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Can the government use GPS tracking services and other data on your digital devices to monitor or even control you during a state of emergency? We're going to be talking about this and other issues on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
Okay, you're starting to make me a little nervous when you bring that subject up.
Well, it should make people nervous because there's discussion. I know that there's some countries that actually are using cell phone tracking devices like they use to track terrorists, to track individuals who have tested positive for the coronavirus or that are under a quarantine to make sure that they stay quarantined. And the real question, of course, we're not talking about what happens outside of the other boundaries of this country, but what happens within the United States of America. But before we do that, let me actually read a scripture verse. This is Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. And this is one of many verses of hope throughout the scripture. It says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And this is the passage where, you know, Moses had died in Joshua. The people had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And now they're finally going into the promised land. But you know what's in the promised land? There are these seven nations that have nothing to do with the Israeli Jews that are coming in. These Jewish people that have been wandering around as vagabonds out in the desert for 40 years. They don't want them in their land. And now Joshua is going to become one of the leaders. He's one of two, Joshua and Caleb, that had faith. When the reconnaissance team of 12 was sent out to look into the land at the beginning of the 40 years, and 10 of them, they were fearful. They saw giants and not God. Joshua and Caleb saw God, much more powerful than the giants. But because the other 10 persuaded the people to be fearful that they couldn't go, unfortunately, God allowed that generation to pass on. And for 40 years, they wandered in the desert. And finally, when that generation was gone, Joshua and Caleb, older now, Moses has gone, and they've seen a whole generation pass. They're now on the edge of the promised land. God says, be strong and courageous, especially when they're looking into these hostile countries or these hostile peoples that they're going to encounter. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Well, you know, I also think about what Jesus said to his disciples. For this reason, I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor for your body as to what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than the birds? So think about that. He cares so much about the birds. He cares so much more about us.
Yeah, he does care so much about you, more than you can ever imagine or think. And, you know, the question that we started off with is we have this response, and I'm personally more concerned, and the respondents that we have received in our survey, you individuals who are listening, and if you haven't actually responded, I hope you do. You can go to lc.org and sign the petition, or not the petition, the survey. You can also find it on Liberty Counsel's Facebook. We really do want to hear from you. But the response that we've heard already from people is that more people are concerned about the restrictions that the government is placing than on the virus itself.
Well, it is concerning, you know.
And also, part of the survey shows that a vast, vast majority believe that some government leaders are using these times of crisis for political ends. Mm-hmm. And others, you know, are saying that they don't trust the media. The vast majority, you don't trust the media reporting correctly or fairly. with regards to this situation. And we've already seen some fake news media.
That's a given.
And we see some of the media that want to use it only for political purposes. They want to use it to hurt the president.
Right.
Some people want to use it because they believe in socialism and government control. And others want to use it because the economy was very strong, strongest in our history. And we've got an election coming up, so they don't like the fact that there's a strong economy. And some people, unfortunately, are, I hate to say it, liking what they see. It's sad that there are certain political purposes that are being abused, and there are certain media that try to increase their viewership and try to use it also for their own political slant.
The sensationalism. Yeah.
But we started off with the question, can the government use GPS and other data on digital devices to monitor, even control people's movements during a health emergency? I don't think that that can be done. Of course, this has not been tested in court, because outside of war, and when we've had war in our past history where there have been these emergencies declared, we didn't have social media. We didn't have the electronic media, smartphones, tablets, and so forth. But now we do. But, you know, the fact is, I don't think the government can do that. There are still constitutional liberties that we enjoy. And listen, we don't just simply throw out the Constitution in a state of emergency.
Right.
You know, the governors or the mayors of the various states or local government, locale, they don't have the ability to just simply declare a state of emergency and wipe out the Constitution.
Yeah, and that our founders created the different branches of government to balance each other for a purpose.
We actually had a case in which we were litigating in Massachusetts, and it was during the same-sex marriage litigation, and it's when the executive just overran the legislature on the same-sex marriage. It was when Romney was actually in office as governor then, and we brought a claim under what's called the Guarantee Clause. The First Circuit Court of Appeals that governs that part of the Northeast said it wasn't drastic enough of an upset of the Republican form of government, the representative form of government, with the three different branches of government, to ultimately implicate the Guarantee Clause. But they did say on page 8 of the opinion that, in fact, it could be implicated during a martial law.
Yeah.
And a martial law would actually be, in some cases, almost what you're seeing in some of these states and some of the locales, where these governors or local government officials are literally issuing these executive orders and wiping out constitutional freedoms with the stroke of a pen. It's not being debated in Congress, or I should say in the state legislatures, and the people have no input on it, and they're not being vetted, and they're not being thought out in terms of the implications. So some of these have real constitutional implications. And in fact, one of the responses to our survey, do you believe that state government response to the coronavirus creates a foundation to destroy our freedom? About 3/4 of you said yes. About 1/4 of you said no.
You know, it's interesting. I know the governor of North Carolina, we had someone come to us with a question regarding their church and the churches in that area, because the executive order was allowing people in shopping malls, but not in auditoriums, which would equal churches.
And it also at the time, and he may have changed it. Now, we're tracking all these executive orders, by the way, and we're answering a lot of questions from pastors and others about them, their implications and how to walk through them. But in that particular executive order, that governor of North Carolina said that you could meet in libraries,
yeah,
but not churches.
But shopping malls. I mean, there's lots of people there.
So you can meet in libraries. You can go to the library and you can have whatever meetings you want, because libraries have meeting rooms.
Right.
But you couldn't meet in churches. That's flatly unconstitutional.
Doesn't make sense
either.
That
was discriminatory on its face, yeah, against the First Amendment and the right to assembly. You can't just simply discriminate against religious gatherings like that. Now, if you're saying hospitals, that's a different story.
Mm.
But a library has nothing to do. It's more like a meeting that you would have in a church, perhaps It could be smaller, it could be bigger. Some libraries have meeting sizes for a good number of people.
So maybe we have to have the church in the library, Hannah.
You can have church in the library, yeah. In fact, you know, think outside of the box. Right. But, you know, we have to walk through this. I don't want to sacrifice our freedom in the short run and be sorry about it. Freedom is a very precious thing, and we will continue to fight for it. Also try to do what we can with this virus. But most of all, pray. Pray that it comes to nothing. Pray for protection and have peace. Because Jesus says, fear not, little flock. Go to lc.org to get the document on knowing your rights and fill out the survey, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, lc.org.